Welcome to Edgemont Bible Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois, where our mission is to glorify God by guiding people into a discipleship relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's listen in to today's message by our pastor, Douglas A. White.
The Word of God, there's nothing like it. We've read through the book of Revelation, and we're continuing to read through the book of Revelation, and we've understood already the blessing and the promise that's in it. But this morning, I would like to go back and just review one small thing with you. Our faith is focused around Jesus Christ, not an ethic, not a morality, not a government, not an economics. It is focused around Jesus Christ. And Christ, when he enters our life, changes things in us. I can't tell you what all will change in your life because I don't know what all is in your life. But I do know this. He will confront everything in your life that is against the knowledge of God. And whatever you got there, yours may be completely different from mine. Whatever you got there, the Lord Jesus Christ will give you new life in that. That's what it is to trust Jesus Christ. But I wanted to focus this morning on Jesus, just some important things about Jesus. To do so, I'm just going to back up again. I'm going to make the platform once again a timeline, all right? And the timeline, it starts, I think there's a little microphone outlet somewhere right in here, something like that, and it goes all the way over to here, somewhere like this, and that's the end of time. And I just want to go back. I want to step out of time just a minute. Here I am out in eternity. This is eternity. I'm all the way back here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now that tells me something, as it tells you. In the beginning, there was a time when time began. Outside of eternity, there is no time. So he's seeing everything that we see in time just as much there as he sees it over here and just as much here as he sees it over there. It's always the eternal present for him. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So in the beginning, God's creating time. He's creating matter, and he's creating space. All of those are being created in that one little thing. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And all through that which we call time, there's been all kinds of interaction, and everything was really going well until we broke trust. Until we broke trust. Now, kids, trust is the one principle in all the universe. Okay. All right. Everyone close your eyes. There is a tan Toyota Sienna that has your door is still open on it. Okay? So everyone with your head bowed, eyes closed, sneak out. We don't want to know who you are. But if you have a tan Toyota Sienna, right? Okay. You're still looking around. They're not going to move, guys, as long as you're doing that. All right? All right. Well, praise the Lord. Anyway, everything was going well till we broke trust. Trust is the principle. That's what makes everything work. All our relationships are based on trust. Everything in the whole universe is based on trust. Why? Because it's all made to reflect the glory of God. And the glory of God is the Father, Son, and the Spirit trust each other fully, implicitly. And that's what he was going to have set up right here. But when we broke trust, That broke all the harmony that was going on. Can you see that? That broke all the harmony. Everything that could have gone on, all the good relationships are broken. Ultimately, he's got to judge that one because of the broken trust that's in it and got to destroy that one. That's Earth Phase 1 ended. Now we're into Earth Phase 2, and we got all the things that are happening in time. You know, time. Isn't that a wonderful thing to think about? I mean, from all the way back here to, well, we've got to be somewhere in here, okay? We're not quite at the end of this thing, but nearing the end. All the events that happened between then and now. World wars have happened, conquests have happened, all kinds of conflicts have happened, wonderful things have happened, good things, the nation gets made. All those wonderful things take place. But I want to share with you the 30 most important years in all of cosmic history. Everything about all the things that were done here for the greater or the lesser, and all the things that were done here, greater and lesser. There were 30 years that stand out as the most important 30 years in all of that history. And I'll just share with you. So you got those blanks there. We're going to share with you what those 30 years saw in it. In those 30 years, letter A in your outline, the incarnation of the Son of God. The incarnation of the Son of God. God became flesh. Okay. Now, he's outside of us and out here in eternity, and he's going to enter into time, and entering into time, he's going to enter into a frame just like ours. He's going to enter into a mind thought just like ours. He's going to see everything just like we see it. This is the God of eternity moving into time and just being in time. He became one of us. That's the big event. But that just starts 30 years of big events. So if I can go on further with you, it's the incarnation of the Son of God. That's the first thing. God becomes flesh. The second thing, the miraculous perfect life of the Son of God. The miraculous perfect life of the Son of God. Listen, there are all kinds of great people have lived in here. But every one of those really great people suffered because of sin in their life. The father of our faith, Abraham. Abraham still got into trouble for the things that he did. A great leader like Moses still got into trouble for the things that he did. Oh, how about a great king like David? Still gets in trouble for the things that he did. And even though we can look at him and say, those are great lives, they still have their flaws. But with this life of the Lord Jesus Christ, no flaws exist. None. And you say, well, that makes him a great moral leader. No, no, no. That made him the perfect sacrifice. You see, if we're going to be saved at all, if any of the promises that God made back here about he's going to one day bless all the peoples, one day he's going to bring a Messiah, one day, and all those prophets and all those things that were said in there, if they're ever going to be fulfilled, it's got to be by somebody who's perfect in his life. So he is God in the flesh. He is both man and God at the same time. There's no comparison. There's not a way to say, oh, well, that's like so-and-so. No, it's not like anyone else. There isn't anyone else like him. He is the unique one. Let's go to the third thing, letter C. The sacrificial death of the Son of God. The sacrificial death of the Son of God. Now look, lots of people have died. Lots of people have been executed. Lots of people have had, well, matter of fact, a lot of people have been crucified. Jesus wasn't the first person to be crucified ever. There are a lot of other people that were crucified, but here's the deal. If it's only Jesus dying, he's just one more dead Jewish man. But there was something going on with that death. Remember, the wages of sin is death. Wait a minute, I thought you said he was perfect. I did. Because that's exactly what he was. He's perfect. So then why is he dying? He's not dying for his own self, brothers and sisters. The only reason Jesus is going to die is because he's taking our sin on himself. God is saying, I'm going to take the iniquity of all the people in this room. I'm going to put it on you. And when I put it on you, you're going to die. And the Son is saying, then I will do that. And the Father is saying, if you will do that, I will give you all those people. They'll be yours forever. They'll be with you. He's willing to take that sacrifice. So on this day that we honor another great event in that fantastic, significant 30 years of time, Christ dies for us to be raised again from the dead. So that's the letter D. In those 30 years, a significant event that was going to change everything in history is the resurrection of the Son of God. Now look, before the resurrection of the Son of God, people were still living and dying in this section of time here, still living and dying. But in the living and dying, even the righteous didn't get to be in the presence of God. The righteous were still locked up in that little prison of comfort, I'll call it that, Abraham's bosom, paradise. They were still locked up in there. But on this day, where Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, he's going to all of them and say, I'm it. This is why you were believing. This is what you're waiting for. And he takes them with him. His resurrection was their resurrection. They got to be raised again from the dead. Kids, that's significant. Wouldn't you agree? There's something bigger in time than that is big. He's taking them away. And then what does he do? By his resurrection now, guarantees that all those who trust in him, death has ended for them. The fear of death is over for them. They too will be resurrected because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see why I say this is the important event? These are the most important 30 years in all of time. And there's been a lot of events happening in time, but nothing like this one. Nothing like this one. No one else that died before paid for your sins. No one else who could come before lived a perfect life so that he could be the perfect sacrifice. No one else did that, but he did. Letter E. The ascension of the Son of God to the right hand of God. The ascension. Wow, what a life. Born in miracle, leaving in miracle. I can do all I want to. I can lift up on my tiptoes. I can jump as high as I can, but I know this. Mr. Gravity is going to pull me right back and have fellowship with me. But I can tell you, it did not with Jesus. And I think it's really neat, don't you, that it was a slow rise. When Jesus is leaving, it's a slow thing. It's not a rocket that went out. He's slow. Let me remind you. The devil is called the prince of the power of the air, the god of this age. I want you to consider with me as Jesus is slowly passing through the air and not one hand can be laid on him. You see, the Lord of creation is passing through his air in front of his servants who are all in rebellion to him, and they can't do a thing about it. They already thought they won on the day they crucified him. Big mistake. You just set everybody free. You killed him. You set those free. You made sure everybody this side is free. And now you've guaranteed the restoration of the whole earth. Losers. Letter F. In that same period of time, a promised return. A promised return of the Son of God. That's what makes these significant years. You see, it's great. For Jesus, if Jesus gets to die and raise again, that's great for him. But what about for us? We still have to live here. He's already promised, I will come back again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. I've got places for you. I'm going to fix a place for you, and then I'm going to bring you to be with myself. That's what you got. That's your future. You have a bright future, friends. Bright future. Yeah, amen. All right. Let's go on. I want to share with you. I want to talk about the progressive revelation of God. You say, well, we could quit and just go home. You know what I'm saying? We have seen a whole lot right here. This is it. And I'm just going to tell you this. This is what God wants you to believe. This is what God wants you to trust. Plain and simple, this is not rocket science. He's not asking you to do something. He's not asking you to climb to the top of any building. He's not asking you to do anything extraordinary. He's saying this, you must believe this is true about my Son. He is my Son. He's the incarnation. He did live a perfect life. He was fully pleasing to me at all times. Matter of fact, you heard the Father say on several occasions, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God's beloved Son. He's well pleased in his beloved Son. He's calling you to believe in his beloved Son. He's calling you to trust in his beloved son. He's saying this, if you will trust my son, I will forgive all your past. I'll forgive all your future. I'll buy your life. I will give you to myself. I will bring you home. I'll give you everlasting life and bring you into my family. Progressive revelation. What do I mean by progressive revelation? I'll take you all the way back here. When was all this known? Well, I can say this. This side, he always knew it. On this side, we didn't. Matter of fact, we're going to have to be shown this for it to be true to us. Because we're coming into this world without a whole lot of knowledge. Would you agree with that? So God's going to show himself all the way through history, progressively revealing himself. Why? We couldn't handle the truth. There would be no way for us to take in all that truth as little Adam and Eve in that time. It's going to take a whole lot of experiences, a whole lot of failures, a whole lot of conflict, a whole lot of sin, a whole lot of death before it makes any sense to us at all. There'll have to be that time when we come to the place where we're saying, I hate death. I hate the separation that comes from it. I hate the violence that goes on. I hate all that stuff. How do I ever get out of this trap? Ah, now you're asking the right question. Because with that question, he has an answer. No, he has the answer. All right? Sin blocked our reception of that truth. It was difficult for us to know and understand what God had for us, all the wonderful things he had for us, because sin. What's sin? Missing the mark. That's our distrust of him. We distrust him, and because we distrust him and trust ourselves, we were missing the elements of what he was trying to tell us. God speaks, and he is not silent. God speaks, and he is not silent. Listen, when God speaks from heaven, he speaks it by angels. When God speaks it from heaven, he speaks it by angels. How many times did Gabriel come to Daniel? How many times did Gabriel come to Mary or Zechariah or a number of those people in the scriptures where an angel came and spoke with them? Because God had a message he wanted to give to them. He brought it to them by angels. But when it was a message he wanted to bring from people on earth, he sent it by prophets. So on earth, it's by prophets and life stories of Israel. So if he's going to speak to people, he wants them to know, God is not silent. We say sometimes, I couldn't hear what God had to say. Well, pick up his book and read it. He speaks really loud. He's not silent, okay? He never wanted to be silent. He made us back here to talk with us. He made us back here to teach us, to show us what life is and to enjoy. You just got to wonder sometimes, does God think it would be fun to watch us transform the areas outside the garden into the garden? Do you think he enjoys watching us come to, you know, the light bulb come on and you finally go, oh, I get it. Do you think he enjoys watching us create things? Who put that in us? It was him. He's like a father with his children, delighting and watching the things that we do. You follow what? He wants to talk with us. He's got things he wants to say, all right? He spoke to us from heaven by angels. He spoke on earth by prophets and life stories of Israel. And then finally by his own son in two phases. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, it says that God, who in various times and with various vessels spoke to us in times earlier by the prophets, has spoken to us in this last time by his own son, who is the very express image of Almighty God. That's who was speaking to us. And this 30 years of time in here was God sending his own son to talk to us. The son who created all of us. That son who knit you in the womb of your mothers. That son who brought all the creation into being. He sent him like one of us to speak to us. Okay? So Jesus has his ministry on earth. Man, we got the Gospels for that, don't we? We have all these witnesses and testimonies here. So we have the Gospels that we agree, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we know that that's Jesus' words when he was here on earth. So letter A in your outline, his ministry on earth. He spoke to us by his ministry on earth. But there was also his ministry after his ascension to heaven. He spoke to us through the Gospels. And we get to see what Jesus was teaching through the Gospels. But when Jesus is, again, I'll make the platform or the pulpit here, the crucifixion of Christ. Now, the resurrection of Christ on the other side of it here. Now we're on this side of it. Is Jesus' ministry over? No. You see, he ever lives. Because of that resurrection, he lives to minister to you every day. This day, he is seated at the right hand of the Father praying for you that you'll understand what the gospel is, praying for you that you'll let that be a part of your life, praying for you that as you know the gospel, you'll stand firm and strong. He knows what we're up against. He knows the powerful spirits that are opposed to us. He knows the power of the flesh. He knows those things, kids. He knows the attraction of the world. He knows what we're up against. So he prays for you every day. In addition to that, you've got an accuser. He's in heaven all the time accusing you of what you do, accusing you of everything. And you have a righteous advocate with the Father who's making intercession for you every day. This is Jesus' ministry after his ascension. But we have the book of Revelation to give us what God let Jesus tell us about what the future times were. That's what the book of Revelation is. All right, let's go a little further. Both times when Jesus is having a ministry in heaven, when he had his ministry on earth, both those times were in fulfillment of prophecy. That's exactly what God, who knows the beginning from the end, and he knows the end from the beginning, was telling people all during this period of time. He was giving prophets who would speak. They would tell what it's going to be like in the new kingdom, what it's going to be like when the restoration takes place, what it's going to be like to bring Israel back, what it's going to be like to bring the Gentiles in, what it's going to be like. All of that was going on in the prophets. And Jesus' ministry was in fulfillment of all those things the prophets said. Then letter four in your outline, it was recorded by witnesses and chosen authors in the written word of God. Now, this is what you have right here. Somewhere between these, it doesn't make any difference whether it's vinyl or paper or whatever you got there, or if it's on your phone. I'm not sure that God blesses phones the same way, but I'll go along with it, okay? All that the information that he was telling us has been recorded for us, that he was willing to tell us. Okay, there's things, as John said, boy, the things that Jesus said and did, if it all could be written in a book, big, too big. You wouldn't get it all down. It's too big. But he gave us enough for us to know, can I believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And the answer is yes. John writes his gospel just so people can see these are the events in Jesus' life that prove he was the Son of God. These are the events that are in Jesus' life that prove you can believe in him because he is the Son of God. That's why we encourage people to read the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is not a chronology of his life. It's John picking the episodes in his life that reveal that Jesus is the Son of God. So he keeps sharing this one and this one. He turned water into wine. He does this and he does this here. A blind man can see again. People, each one of those episodes is to prove that he's the Son of God. Not just a neat guy, not just a really cool teacher, but he is the Son of God. All right? And those are all written and recorded for us in the Word of God. Well, let's stick specifically here with the book of Revelation, Revelation 1:1-8. And we're going to add a few other scriptures in there. Let's go back to verse 1, please. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants. So, whose revelation is this? It's the revelation of God that he said to his son, these are the things I'll let you tell about the future to those who have followed you. This is what I'm going to give you to share with them. Now, let's get the picture. When they asked Jesus time and again, is this the time of the kingdom? Are you going to set up the kingdom now? When are you coming back again? And Jesus would say to him, I don't know. That's in my Father's hand. That's not in mine. I'm to do this work, and my Father has determined a time where I'm coming back again. So I don't know the day or the hour. No man knows the day or the hour. So the Lord Jesus Christ didn't know the day or the hour. However, that there would be a day and an hour, you were get the privilege to know. So what did he do? He gives the revelation here of himself about what's going to happen out here. That revelation is being given to Jesus Christ and saying, now you can share that with all your followers there. So you have the book of Revelation to tell you what's going on with these days up here and what's going to go on afterward, all right? So that's what he's going to give us. That's what this revelation is. So what you are looking at in the book of Revelation is the revelation God the Father wanted to give to the Son so the Son could give to us. This is the revelation God wanted you to know about your future. All right, let's go to number two, letter B. There is a promised blessing for taking special care with this revelation. Look at verses 3 and 4. Blessed is he who reads. Did you read it? Hey, kids. It isn't just reading here. If you read this book at home, you get the same blessing. If you read this book, if you listen to it while you're in your car, listen to what it goes on to say. If you listen to it, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, so if you read it, if you listen to it, you are blessed. This is a promise from God. You are blessed. Listen to how he goes on to say. And then those that who hear the words of this prophecy, keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Now, he says, keep them also. It's not just that you're going to read them. You're going to listen to them. You're going to hide them in your heart. Some people say, oh, boy, the book of Revelation, that's too scary. I don't want to do it. Hide that in your heart. This is a great place to have the Word of God hidden. This is the one that promises blessing. Let me tell you, the next time we get to look at Revelation, John took a little book in and he ate it, and it filled him. That's what this is. If you eat these words, if you will take these words in, read them, listen to them, keep them, your life will be blessed. You'll have the knowledge of God, and your hope will just skyrocket. Why? Because you'll know that it doesn't matter what Mr. Biden does. It doesn't matter what Mr. Trump does. It doesn't matter what Mr. Putin does. My Father moves all the pieces around because he's got in mind what he's going to do. Can I tell you something? It does matter what Jesus is going to do. And there may be all kinds of pain, suffering in between here, okay? There may be things that, man, if we could have stopped it, we would have stopped it. Let me share this with you. The sufferings of this age are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in him. Are you hearing that? Whatever you think you're going through right now isn't worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed. Can I tell you this? There are probably no elections in heaven. Get this. Here's a bigger one. There are no campaigns in heaven. Kids, you didn't hear what I said. There are no campaigns in it. You know, the elections don't mean much of anything, but those campaigns wear on you. You understand what I'm saying? There is a king whom God has already voted for, and he decided that he's going to go ahead and keep his own king. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. That's his beloved Son. And he's already elected him king. Letter C. In verse 4, it said this. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come and with the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth. Stop just a minute. Let's take a look at that, shall we? This is the testimony of Jesus. This is what God wanted us to know. God saw so much of what his own plan was, and he thought so much of his own son, and he loved all of us so much, he said, I want them to know the truth. Here it is. This is the testimony, and I want to confirm who this is coming from. I want you to get the picture that I'm not just some reporter for Fox or CNN. I am about to tell you from the word of truth what is going to happen here, and I want to confirm to you who this is. So it says it is coming from the one who is, who was, and who is to come. See that name Jehovah we got up there? The Jehovah is the anglicized word of trying to figure out what those letters mean, J-H-V-H or J-H-W-H or however it may be written. That word Jehovah is his name. That's not a title for him, that's his name. And that name comes from a Hebrew word which has to do with to be. And that word means I am what I was, I am what I am, and I am what I will be. I am always the same. I have always been the same. It's a way of saying I'm eternal. I have no need of anything to feed me. I have no need of anything to energize me. I am self-contained. I have all. And I have given life out of me to you. So when he says the one who is, the one who was, and the one who is to come, he's just telling you, I am Jehovah. That's who I am. Now, if you're like me, you can understand that since it's Jehovah that created time and matter and space, he created all those things, his words should be pretty trustworthy, wouldn't you think? Pretty reliable. So what we're about to hear, kids, I want you to know, this is coming from the most reliable source in the whole universe, the one who created it. Let's go on in a few more details here. Go over on page 2. Let's get a picture of what he said. He said, this is coming from the one who was, who was, and is to come. It's coming from the seven spirits who are before his throne and from Jesus Christ. How does he identify Jesus Christ? Number one, the faithful witness. The faithful witness. Hey, you know, that ought to be something that's really considered important to us. How important is a faithful witness? If these 2 years have not taught us anything else than this, man, it'd sure be great to have a faithful witness. It'd sure be great to have somebody who actually tells the truth, because I get to hear this one day, and an hour later, I get to hear just the opposite as if it's the same truth. Which of those two is true? I don't know. I want you to know this. Jesus is the faithful witness. His Father declares him the faithful witness. He always witnessed the absolute truth about his Father. He didn't tell anything about his Father that wasn't absolutely true. And his Father saw him as a faithful witness. That's an important thing if the Father says to you, you're a faithful witness. I hope that's what's said of all of us one day, that you are faithful witnesses. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've done well because you were faithful to the witnessing that's going on. And John could call him a faithful witness because he had always told him the absolute truth. So it's Jesus, the faithful witness. Let's go on. That's not all he is. He is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. Now, here's two great things to know about the firstborn from the dead. Number one, firstborn refers to the one who inherits. With the firstborn, doesn't matter whether, the firstborn is the one who inherits what the Father is giving. Everything of the Father belongs to the firstborn, okay? So that's the first thing you need to know about that. Firstborn also has to be the first one. If something's called the firstborn, it indicates that there's others that followed. Calling him the firstborn from the dead tells you a whole lot of wonderful truth. He not only is going to inherit all things, but he's the first among the dead ones to be raised. Now, that may not have got you excited just now, but let's think what that means. If he's the firstborn and you're in him, What's that got to do with you? You will live. When we have our Christian memorial services, our funerals, if you would, we have them with two great emotions conflicting in us. One, oh, they're gone. I miss them. Oh, and that just tears us up. And then within a heartbeat or half a heartbeat, they're in heaven. Hallelujah. They're with the Father. Glory to God. And then you think, oh, I need to grieve again. So you go back to grieving again. And then you're back to saying, yes, they're with God. They finally there. Yes, they've won. And we have this turmoil that goes on inside of us, knowing whether to be happy one moment or sad one moment. That's because you have hope. That's because you know he's the firstborn of the dead ones, and there are more coming. But he's not only known as the firstborn of the dead. He's known here as the ruler over the kings of the earth. Oh, let's talk about this a minute. The ruler over the kings of the earth. What does that mean to us? Listen, he's sovereign. He's the final authority. He's the king over everything. Everybody else in all of this time in between here, everybody else isn't. He's sovereign. And if they had any power and authority at all, it was what he granted to them. He's standing before Pilate. And Pilate's feeling pretty powerful. I got all this power, and your life's in my hand. I can go up and you live. I can go down and you die. Well, you know who you're dealing with here? And you could hear him say, you have only what my father gave you. Your dad? Yeah, my dad gave you that. So I'm not afraid of you. I don't have anything to be afraid of. My father has put you here, and you have to do what you have to do. I know right now you don't know what you're doing. But I'm going to let you do this. Because he's the ruler overall. Do you realize he's already told us what he's got to do before his son comes back? He's got to move all the pieces around on this great puzzle so that they all point to his coming again. Kids, that's exactly what he's doing. And sometimes in between there's a whole lot of pain and agony and hurt as he lets people do what they want to do, getting to where he wants to go. He's ruler. And all the things that you see going on before you curse, before you get upset, before you get mad and angry, I know that's an emotion that can happen. I'm just going to encourage you, back up for a minute and say, oh, son, you don't know what you're doing. You follow where I'm coming from? You're going to answer for that one day. It's going to be really hard to do. And you can look at them, you can say, Father, please have mercy on these people. They really don't know what they're doing. Just like Jesus said at the cross, they really don't know. But I can know this. They are playing right into your hand. Christ is coming again. Things are working the way they need to work. Please give me grace to go through this right now. All right? Let's go on further. He's a ruler. Notice what he says. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Well, kids, when you think of all the things that could have been done that wouldn't have worked. Think of all the people back here who couldn't take us from our sins. Think of, I sometimes think of Adam and Eve and I think, man, that must have been rough. Adam lives to be 930 years old. How would you like to know that in those 930 years that you lived, you got to watch all of your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren, and great-great-great-grandchildren going the path they had taken? The violence, the wickedness, the brutality, the strange creatures that are being created now, all the pain, the agony that's going, how would you like to be Adam and Eve and sit there and look and say, look what we did, darling? You got to know that had to hurt somewhere along the line. All because we broke trust? What could we have done differently? What could we have done to change this? Can you see that? Nothing they could do would change anything for us. But the Son of God could come and take our sin on himself, carry the whole thing, the wages of sin being death. He's got all our sin on. He has to die. But with his death had been given the promise that if you lay down your life, you may raise it again. He's the one who loved us and washed us from our sins. That's total. That's a total picture. Let's go on further. Number five. He's the one who made us kings and priests to his God and Father. Look at what he says. He washed his own, loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Wouldn't it be cool? Listen, it'd be enough if Jesus could just pay for us and set us free. And just say, I don't hold it against you, walk free. But he went beyond that, kids. He went beyond just setting us free to saying, you now are a part of my family. I am putting you in union with my own son who's going to inherit all the restored world, and you're going to be with him. That's why you must believe this. That's why you must continue to believe, not let anything dissuade you, not anything put you away. Let me go on further with you. Number six. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. We'll kind of bring all those together in one thought. He started the whole cosmos. Why is he Alpha? Because he's Alpha back here. He's the one through whom, when God speaks, the Father speaks, the Son creates it, and the Spirit gives it life. Father speaks, Son creates it, Spirit gives it life. He's the Alpha. He's the beginner of it. And can I say, it's his coming again that's the end of it. And when he is finally finished with it all, he's delivering that whole kingdom back up to the Father again. He's the Omega. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the one who first did it. He's the first among the dead. He's the first among all the universe. He's first and last. There won't be another king after him. There won't be another ruler after him. He is the primary, and he is the last one. That's why we must believe this, okay? He is a reliable source. In verse 18, look down there just for a moment. Verse 18, he says this. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I know I've discussed this just a little bit with you. He lives eternally. He's the one who's taking full and complete care of you. He's taking care of you today. He's taking care of you tomorrow. He's already got Tuesday in mind for you. He's got Friday squared away. You understand where I'm coming from? He's got it. He is the one who takes care of you forever. He's the one who's praying for you. You're going to stand, brother or sister, because he's praying for you. Not because he has confidence in your ability, because he doesn't. He knows what he got when he bought you. You understand what I'm saying? You were not a pig in a poke. He knew what you had. He knew what he was getting fully and completely. So nothing that you do surprises him. And you're going to stand because he's making you stand. All right. Let me go on further. He said also in this verse 18 and up in that same passage there, he says, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive ever forevermore. Amen. And I had the keys of Hades and of death. Okay. if you didn't have anything else to get happy about, that we like to think, oh, Satan's got the keys of Hades and death. Satan's got the... No, he doesn't. Don't give that rascal more than he deserves, okay? Give him what he deserves. He's a condemned criminal, all right? And he does not have the keys of Hades and death. He used to use the fear of death all the time. But when you came to the Lord Jesus Christ, he ended the fear of death for you. You don't have to be afraid of death anymore. The Lord Jesus Christ has the keys of Hades and death. He's the one who can set you free. He's the one who gives eternal life. Nobody else can do that. So let me go through this way. Who are you trusting for life? Who are you trusting? Are you trusting yourself? Do you think that somehow you're going to pull yourself out of this mess? Somehow you're going to rise above it and you're going to be different from everybody else? Sorry, you won't. There have been billions of people who said that before, and they died in vain. Don't do it. Hear the truth. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is God incarnate. He lived a perfect life. He died a death for you in your and was raised again on the third day to give you new life. He's ascended to the Father. He's alive right now, praying for you right now. Why put your trust in anything else? Put it only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Christ. Plain and simple. Trust Christ. Here's the deal. It'd be one thing, these are just nice titles we could give to Jesus, nice things he did, but here's the wonder. He did it all in your place. These are all the things you should have done, but you couldn't do. And he had compassion on you because he knew you couldn't do it. He did it all for you. Now you have eternal life because of him. Amen? Now, we're going to have the Lord's table just now. In a few weeks, I think on Pentecost Sunday, we're going to have a baptismal service for everybody who's interested in being baptized. If you understand what the Scriptures teach about the Lord Jesus Christ, you know that he commanded us to be baptized. He commanded the church to do baptizing. If I could have the fellows come forward just now. Thank you, brothers. I see you moving. Today, maybe for the first time in your life, you came to understand that Jesus Christ is Lord. Today may have been the first time. You've been sitting there thinking, why don't I trust him? I want to encourage you to do this. Not some elaborate ceremony. I want to ask you, right where you're seated just now, put your trust in Christ. Just bow your head simply and pray something similar to this. Father, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I am under the judgment of Almighty God. And I know being under your judgment, I've just understood that Jesus died in my place to take my judgment on him. I receive Jesus just now. I believe that Jesus is that Christ. I believe he is the Son of God. And I believe Jesus. Then I'm going to ask you, if that's what you did, that you can take the Lord's table with us. However, if you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, please let this pass you by. Don't bring condemnation on yourself by lying about what's not true. If you haven't trusted Christ, please let it pass by. Don't bring that condemnation on you. If you have trusted Christ, then today. I mean, if today was the first day you trusted him, then please take this with us. All right? Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this bread which speaks of his body, that he is God come in the flesh, and we worship and praise Jesus as the one who is God come in the flesh, the only one like him. No one is like him ever. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. So we thank you for that bread which we're about to eat. Thank you for the cup we're about to drink, for we know that in this cup is a representation of how Jesus bled for us, died for us, and paid for us in full. So we receive this cup as a picture of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection for us. We receive this bread as a picture that his perfect sacrifice is what made that real for us. Thank you for what you're doing, the way you're doing it, in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to live in truth. Jesus is a faithful witness. We want to live in that truth. That Jesus has told us the truth about God, about the future, about our lives, about how to be saved. He's told us all the truth. I'd like you to take that bread, if you would, just now. Take it out of the container there and think with just for a moment. When you take this, you're going to be saying to God, to the angels who are meeting and assembling, watching our order today, to all the people who are before you, I believe that Jesus is God come in the flesh. I believe that fully and completely. Let's remember him together. All these things happened on the night in which Jesus was betrayed. It was a Passover meal. It should have been a joyful celebration with them, celebrating freedom, being set free by God. But that night there was one among them that was a traitor, but he was betrayed that night. But here's what he said. Take this cup. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Do this as you remember it, as often as you do it, in remembrance of me. Let's remember him together, shall we? The New Testament, as you know, is recorded in Greek. And in Greek, there was a phrase that's called tetelestai. That word tetelestai is what was written on every bill once it was paid in full. So they would write tetelestai across the bill so that people could know, this thing's paid in full, you can't charge me again for it, it's all done, it's over, it's paid for in full. When Jesus died on the cross, the Greek rendering of what he said was tetelestai. So as he's dying, and it comes across in English as it is finished, what it means is paid for in full. You have been paid for in full. Everything that was against you has been washed away by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's past, present, future. He's buying your life, not just some actions of your life. He's buying your whole life. Tetelestai. It's finished. Well, I hope you know this morning that it's finished for you. Everything that needed to be done to justify you before God has already been done. Now, as justified people, we want to encourage you to get up and walk out of here living Jesus all the way. Amen. Be great, powerful people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much that he is that faithful witness, that he is alive from the dead, that he is interceding for us, that he is the first born who's going to bring all things and restore the whole earth. Thank you, Father, that he inherits it all. Thank you for letting us be in that inheritance with him. And now, Father, we ask you to dismiss us with your grace, with your peace, with your kindness, with your goodness. We want to thank you for what you've already shown us of how great and kind you can be to us. Thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope God has encouraged you with today's message by Pastor White. Thank you for joining us at the Edgemont Bible Church. We'd love to have you visit us if you're ever in the area. For directions, more information, or to support the ministry of Edgemont Bible Church, please go to our website at edgemontbiblechurch.org. That's Edgemont Bible Church, all one word, .org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Edgemont Bible Church, where the Sunday morning message is broadcast live.